When reading through this passage about Jesus that Laura read for us, it sounds immediately very, very different from the Jesus who we meet in the Gospels. In the Gospels, we read stories about Jesus, the person, wonderful things he did, beautiful words he spoke. Here, in this passage, however, we read about Jesus the idea, Jesus the philosophical, theological cornerstone of Christian thought, Jesus the notion who makes reconciliation with God possible, who is a philosophical framework. This passage, it's about what meaning we are supposed to make of the life of Jesus. And here, this passage that we read, it reads sort of like an explanation for how I am supposed to get right with God. And there's a kind of a message, there's a kind of a method, a way that I'm supposed to do that. And it begins with me needing to believe that Jesus Christ's death has ultimate spiritual importance for me personally, that out of grace, Jesus died on my behalf. And by out of grace, I mean that it's important that I believe that I don't personally merit that kind of treatment from God. I don't personally merit God putting me and my importance in front of that of Jesus. Now, I don't mean to say that for all of this to make sense, I need to think that I'm some kind of a monster. All I mean is that it's kind of important for me to recognize that if Jesus and I are in an airplane, and the airplane is going down, and there's one parachute, it's important for me to recognize which of the two of us should be getting that parachute. And I'm clear on that. I understand who should be getting that parachute. If instead God chooses to treat me as if I'm the more important one, to make my life equal to that of Jesus, that says a lot about God. Says a lot about God, says a lot about the generosity, the goodness, the grace of God. I believe in all of that. I believe that there is peace between me and God because of how good God is. Being right with God, then, it's something that is individual, kind of based on my belief. And once I believe, I'm kind of all done. The main drama is finished. Christ died, I believe, there's peace with me and God. I'm sort of all done here. Nothing left to do but run out the clock and wait for my eternal reward. Other people? Other people are kind of beside the point, or maybe sort of God's business. The main drama is between me and God. So best of luck to the rest of you all, background actors in the story of the salvation of John. Except, there is this one little word. There's this one little word that gets in the way and gums up the works of this very simple, very tidy, Christ died, I believe, I'm saved kind of situation. It's one word that takes this whole set of instructions and throws them into doubt. One word that takes my personal salvation and makes it seem, well, not so central and maybe not even finished. And that word is we. And that dratted we, it is everywhere throughout this passage. Therefore, we are justified by faith. We have peace. Even though we were sinners, Christ died for us, though we were ungodly, and we will be saved. There's not a first person singular pronoun in this whole place. Every bit of this promise, it's not for me. It's for us. Okay, fine. So, grammatically, it's we. But that eternal reward, that's still something that I get to have, right? Does that overcomplicate this with this first-person plural business? I still get to have my salvation, right? Well, kinda. Because the height of what God is offering here, the depth of hope that does not disappoint, the great hope, it is not that I will have salvation. That's not the verb, to have. The hope is that we will share the glory of God. The main verb of the sentence describing the theological meaning of the crucifixion and resurrection, that sentence, the main verb of that sentence, share. The glory of God, if it is anything, if I have any access to it, it is something that we share. And of course it is. Of course the glory of God is not something I can have on my lonesome. Of course it is something that we share, because the glory of God, the height and depth and breadth of divine reality, that is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the glory of God, the great sharing of reconciliation between God and all people. That shows us most truly who God is. It is a sharing for me to share in that. The glory of God is at its heart a great and sacred sharing. It's not something I can have just to myself. It doesn't even make sense. I can't have the glory of God all on my own any more than I can have a great and festive banquet all by my lonesome. The glory of God, it has to be shared for it to be. That's just what it is. The grace of God creating peace among people where there was no peace, growing reconciliation from the rocky soil of hard feelings. What God has done for us through Jesus Christ is to share life abundant with all who would believe it. That is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, to share the glory of God. And for that, if that is salvation, if that is what it means to be right with God, then we are not all done here. We are not all done here. Nobody is a background actor in that. We're not running out the clock. Every minute is precious. Our neighbors are not background actors or God's problem. The stranger in our midst, and even our enemies, they are a gift to us, a gift because we might share with them reconciliation and peace and salvation, and through that sharing, know God better. We are a gift to one another. Now, in just a little while, we are going to be welcoming new members into the church, and then a little while after that, we are going to be holding our annual meeting. Now, it might seem like it's overcomplicating things to make decisions about the church by getting everyone together and sharing that process. Wouldn't it be a lot simpler if just one guy was in charge? Simpler, but not the realm of God. What we are doing, it is a great and sacred sharing of the life of the faith, sharing the riches of the church, sharing the glory of God together. It's not something that I can have on my own. That's not what we're doing here. What we're doing here is sharing in the life and the gospel. The main verb of the sentence that sums up the Christian calling, that verb is to share. And so we seek to share that ever more broadly, to share our time, to share our joy, to share our grief, to share what we have, to share what we lack. That is what we hope for. There's nothing like that hope. It cannot disappoint. We have hope that peace is possible. We have hope that glory, the glory of God, might be shared among us. We're not done here. We are just getting started. 356 years in, we are not done here. We are just getting started on the reconciling work of God through Jesus Christ. And where we will find that? We will find that in the stranger, in the neighbor, in the friend, among one another, within those people who have joined the church today, those who have never been through these doors before, those who have been raised here from when they were a child. That is where we will find the glory of God, when we share it. Thanks be to God that we are not alone.